we view this matter of the finding of the silver cup in Benjamin's bag from two standpoints. In the past, which we still do now, Eugene Burns' article would be, basing it the way I would appraise it, pertains to the second application rather than the first application, which I don't think he would concur with the way he meant, but it was splendidly done, language and everything. So just as with regard to, as we've said many times, the Passover night, the partaking of the Lamb is viewed as covering the entire gospel age, but the Apostle Paul treats it that he only takes the slaying of the Lamb and forgets the rest, that part of it, and emphasizes the subsequent 7 days of unleavened bread that followed the Passover and gives that a spiritual application as applying in the gospel age. What we'd like to say, the Passover night, in one instance, covers the entire age. In another, it's just the slaying of the Lamb. And that all is forgotten. That is the detail. But then the feast that followed it, then he says, let us therefore keep the feast during this gospel age. So forth. Now with Joseph's cup, we feel the same thing. So we give the first application that we believe it applies to. Now you know the account. I assume that generally speaking, without reading it, because there's 7 or 8 chapters, I mean, we can't, in the Old Testament, covering Joseph's whole experience. But you'll recall that when Benjamin was finally taken to Joseph, Jacob let him go, and he arrived in Egypt. We know there was a meal that was partaken of. And this first meal, Joseph did not reveal that he was Joseph. But we find that the brethren at that time, that is, of Joseph, you know, those that were with Benjamin, were surprised that with the meal that Benjamin got 5 portions, and the rest, it said, there were portions given to them. But I would understand the plural of the portions given to the other of Benjamin's brethren that was not several. Benjamin got 5, but since each one got 1 portion, and there were, say, 10 or 11 of them that are involved, you put it in the plural, but actually there were plural portions, there were plural brethren, but each got the 1 portion, Benjamin got 5. We have in the past frequently said that with regard to that 5 portion represented the little flock. Now we find another interesting, remember when Joseph ordered his servant or steward to put secretly in Benjamin's bag his silver cup with which he divined with, put it in this bag, and then they went on their journey to go back to Israel, and then all of a sudden the posse comes and they investigate, his cup's missing, and we didn't take it. I'm just summarizing it. And they go through one by one the knapsacks of all the others, and no silver cup. And then they come to Benjamin, and there is the silver cup. And it looked very bad, as though he had stolen it, and that was purposely done by Joseph, which we will not say any reason now for it. Now, the thing is, great fear came on them, and they went back. When they went back to Joseph, he did not reveal they were imprisoned. Then there was another meal, and then at that meal we find that Joseph, he wept and revealed himself publicly, as it were, I am Joseph, to the brethren. Now, he embraced first Benjamin. Hardly, because Benjamin was his natural brother. The others would be, I guess you'd call them stepbrothers. Yeah, by other mothers or concubines. Now, what happened, we find that there is a certain sequence here. We believe that this incident in Joseph's life brings us down to the end time. But now at the first meal, where Benjamin got 5 portions and the others, let's say, for convenience sake, got 1 to show the disparity, this, I believe, pertains to the Lord's second presence. In the Lord's second presence, it says that the Jesus would come and furnish a special servant to provide food to the household of faith. Now, that meal in Matthew 24 was given to the whole church, the whole true church, the consecrated. And what happened, the disparity was that it does not tell in the account the feelings of the others when they saw Benjamin get 5. But you can be sure they were puzzled and a little bit envious of this disparity. And what happened, that as a result of that, we feel that with the provision of truth at the Lord's second presence, both the little flock and the great company partake of the meal. But whoever it is of the little flock get 5 portions. But this is something inner with. This is something you can't, we can't see. But in the fulfillment, the Benjamin class, in this instance, it's my conjecture, that it represented the little flock, and that they benefit from this to make their calling and election sure eventually. Then what happens, we find that later, that cup that was used is found in Benjamin's bag. Now, in this first application, this, we believe, is still in with regard to the little flock. This first application. Now, the fear is, this, we believe, is future. And in the future, whoever they are at that time, it will be found that a certain class amongst the brethren, whoever they are, will be specially provided with information that is beneficial at that time and act upon it, which is something no one knows until the chips are down. You know, you can do a lot of talking, but when the chips are down. And what happens, the other brethren were fearful when they saw it. Fear came on them. Now, in this future event, which comes with regard to the rise of nominal Christendom to power, those that have this truth and it's revealed will be like a speckled bird. They will be the center of attraction, just as it was with Jesus. At the time of Jesus' first advent, he was the one they were looking for. Behold, I'm the one you're looking for. Let these other go, Jesus said, in effect. What did they do? They fled in fear. But 2 of them didn't do what the others did. That was Peter and John. We think they represent 2 classes. Now, I'm not going to go into detail on that, but I do think that John possibly, don't ask me now why, all the details, represent the, generally speaking, the sisterhood. I'm not going to tell you why. And Peter, the others, males that are involved. Anyway, there are 2 that did not run away, but was present with Jesus. They were concerned about his last days and his apprehension. The others fled for fear. But later on, of course, quite different. They were apostles. Now, this cup was a silver cup. Now, that does not mean because it was a silver cup in Benjamin's bag that it had to represent the great company, because that silver cup was Joseph's silver cup. He had it, and he didn't represent the great cup. Well, he used it as a silver cup, not as a gold cup. This is the first way you jump to the conclusion. But in the second application, it does represent that the great company class will have the silver cup. But that's the second application, which we haven't come to yet. But the first application to the little flock. Now, the thing is, as a result of that, we found that they went back and there was an imprisonment. But from that imprisonment, there was this bringing to the table and the eventual revealment of Joseph's identity to the brotherhood, but he embraced Benjamin first. Then the others he went to, each, and kissed them, I think it says. Now, the second application, which Eugene Burns centered on, I thoroughly concur. I believe it, but I based it not on the silver cup, but on the Song of Solomon, among other things. That identity can be secured. So I think certainly it's in the right direction. And the way it was worded about how Joseph was teaching character lessons to these brothers. I think that is a very... Brother Russell first brought this out. His technique, Joseph, was hard. It was hard, but it resulted in success with regard to Simeon, with regard, but particularly Judah. Now, in this article, in The Beauties of the Truth, the second application, Eugene applies that Judah was the one who volunteered as a substitute to release Benjamin from servitude, and he would take his place. And of course the article calls attention to what the scripture says. Judah was one of the ones that plotted to have Joseph murdered. The strategy was, Reuben said, let's put him in a pit. And Reuben had some ulterior motive that would seem to satisfy. You put in the dry cistern, no water, in the desert, and then leave him there and go away, that he is going to die. But he thought he'd go back and rescue him. But the initial thinking of the brotherhood was to slay him, Joseph. But this was a way out by selling him eventually to the Midianites, who were going to Egypt, etc. And he ends up on the throne. The first application of the other brethren and Benjamin, the other brethren are the spiritual, the consecrated, and Benjamin is the little flock of the greater number of the consecrated. The second application, which is brought out beautifully and called in the Beauties and the Truth magazine, is that Judah represents the holy remnant eventually. And the suggestion in the article is that this holy remnant, as far as the great company class, who will have considerable enlightenment at the end of the age, after the little flock is gone, that of all things, Israel will be very much moved. The righteous element in Israel, the holy remnant, will seize on the message of the great company class, embrace it, and the great company class are now going to have a hard experience, because they have to go beyond the veil, because their consecration and their destiny is a spiritual one, not down here. And that Judah then, who offers to give himself, is that they try to defend. Here you have this holy remnant trying to defend this spiritual class. All right, that's the way, generally speaking, the article. Now the point is this. Notice the silver cup. With Elijah, Elijah had a mantle. That mantle was his authority, and he was the prophet. Elisha was his companion, but Elijah was the prophet. Now, the thing is, this mantle is like the silver cup. It first is on Elijah, and then it drops off when he was translated, drops off, and Elisha, it becomes his property. So I liken that to the silver cup. This is why I feel that the second application to Benjamin as the great company class is certainly, in my judgment, of the great company class. And there's a harmony, because with all these other pictures, no matter how complex, there's a beautiful harmony. A little bit of this one and this one, there's no conflict. And this harmonizes, then, where you have the silver cup with one class, the silver cup with the other, the mantle with one class, the mantle with another. In the Song of Solomon, also, this is brought out, but it's done in a more subtle way, which I don't want to get into. Now, the thing is this, I think he gave this talk at the International Convention, which I would think one of the highlights of the convention, and probably in more detail, but I'm not sure, within the beauties of the truth. So I thought that would occupy the first meeting, just to think on that. And so what happens as time goes on, hindsight becomes clearer, right? Because here's prophecy or here's history going on. And as history goes on, and you look back, you do know what was happened. I mean, there's no more debate, you know, what's happened. But when it's future, then it's speculative, and you trust that it may be true the way you think and so forth. But as time goes on, it reveals. And so, in this way, the light of truth, it gets brighter and brighter, because these foggy things become more and more cleared up. And as they're cleared up, it gets clearer, because some misconceptions, which everybody has, I know I had, I thought that possibly 1998 might be, but I put question mark, might be, I didn't say dogmatic, never thought of it dogmatically. But the thing is this, when that day came and went by, history proves that that's not the case. And this helps clarify as time goes on. So it started all this with the French Revolution and then the Millerite movement. You see, 1799 was thought of, brethren, 1844 changed to 1846, down to 1914 was thought, the date changed to 1918. Then it was thought 1925 was the date, etc. And 1998, there was a date in between that some brethren here in the East thought of as being in between 1925 and 1998. It was another date. But what we're trying to say, wonderfully, that as we go on, we expect these things to get clearer and clearer. If you're interested, you see what I mean? It depends on hunger. Hunger is to know the quality of the ego. Hunger increases eyesight. But others who are indifferent, yes, interested, but in a normal way, that will not be especially their experience now until the trouble comes to them. And it's always this way. I'm talking in connection with prophecy. Even with connection with your own health. As you're dying and feeling the rigors of death settling in, don't you think more seriously of things? It changes your... And so this is history, and the truth is going on. And what is wonderful, that in the evangelical church, in our midst, Pastor Russell, all looked to Israel as a sort of a time clock. Where are we on the stream of time? And it's been very interesting. That's why the Jewish question is of great interest to us as one aspect of truth. Because the main thing is to make our own calling and election sure with a spiritual hope. But it's nice to see these other things, because what happens, we know we're getting nearer and nearer to end of the age. And we pray for God's kingdom to come, and we're nearing that. Now, has anybody, since we mentioned this, yes?
And just to say, we do have a copy home, one copy. I don't know if anybody, the beauties of the church.
Brother Frank, any reference to the five portions, the fact of five, the reference of five?
Well, five. The Great Pyramid had five chambers above the King's Chamber. Now, the King's Chamber with the open sarcophagus represents the bursting forth from the tomb, primarily of Jesus, bursting the bonds of death, and it's uneven on one corner, suggesting a fracture, just like the well at the beginning of the Grand Gallery that introduced the Gospel Age. The Grand Gallery at the well gives evidence of an explosion by the unevenness of the fracture that took place at the bottom. These five things, the five chambers above the King's Chamber, is surmounted by the fifth, which is a pyramid. And the pyramid is a symbol of the highest form of life. Eventually, self-contained, eventually, in its final full fulfillment, immortality. And so we find on some of the charts, you have like rays of sunlight, you have the top stone, and you have all kinds of rays, showing this is the Christ, head and body members. But in other pictures, it's just Christ. In the present age, it's just him, because he's our fullness. He's the top stone, Jesus, not the church at all. But in way in the future, as everything is done, and all mankind and everybody is in harmony with God at the end of the kingdom age, then that pyramid would represent Jesus and his church, but not now, because we need him for the covering of our sins and our complete, well, so does everybody else, but I mean, that pyramidal shape with all the rays and all will be seen by others and recognized when God's kingdom is complete. Because even at the end of the age, when many go to Jerusalem following Satan to go up to the camp of the saints in this insurrection at the end of the kingdom age, you cannot tell who are the righteous and unrighteous, because the others secretly harbored their when will the new age be gone. But they didn't do it outwardly until late in the kingdom age. And when the fire comes down from heaven and destroys Satan and all those who are his followers, then it'll be seen who is the righteous and who were not the righteous, because they're God. And that's the end of the kingdom age. There'll be full light, seven times the light of the sun, as it were, when that event takes place. And then that's when the great hallelujah chorus will be given, when Pharaoh and his chariots and his followers and all were expunged in the overflow of the sea. Yes?
I was thinking, not with regard to this question, but with regard to Joseph and the silver cup, it being silver, that in the type, which matches well with the antitype as well, the gold cup would have been reserved for Pharaoh, that his cup would have been a gold cup. And so Joseph being the second next to Pharaoh, so the same thing in the heavenly picture.
All right, that's a very good thought I had not had, and it doesn't conflict. Yeah. So any other comment before we close? And then have an intermission, and then have the Jeremiah study. All right, then let's close with prayer.